So, good to have you this year. This is going to be the way we're going to be doing it. This is about Paul Gostolin, and he'll be my helper. And each week we're going to be giving you the binder. Let me just explain that to them. We're giving you a binder, and there's going to be a worksheet in it. So you're going to be writing your name at the top of the worksheet, because you're going to be returning it at the end of the class. The reason being is this. I've been teaching confirmation before you guys were born, and I know the way 13, 14-year-old boys are with respect to confirmation books. If we give it to you, next week, half of you are going to forget to bring it. No brainer. So to avoid that problem, we're going to be giving you your binder, and we're going to be working on a worksheet. So the homework we do right here. This is the easiest class you have in the whole school, okay? But the most important. So we're going to be filling this in, and then afterward we're going to be giving it back to Mr. Gostolin, and he's going to be holding on to them for the week, okay? And that'll be it. Now, the focus of this year is the following. The confirmation book, the sheets, I wrote them, okay? So I write books, and I write confirmation books. And I tried to spend a lot of time on vacation writing chapters that all of you will be able to understand. None of you are going to say, well, Father, that's too theological. Father, we don't have a degree in philosophy, okay? And the catechists who have read this, they like it. It's very simple, understandable, right, Paul? Down to earth. It doesn't take too much, not to say you guys are not intelligent, but you don't have to have a degree from Harvard or Princeton or Yale to be able to understand this, no? It's pretty simple. Now, also the focus of this year is a little bit different than the other years, and it's this. What we want is, after this year, we want you all to have a friendship with Jesus Christ. That's the focus. Okay? That's the center of the Catholic faith. Is we want you all to have a friendship with Jesus Christ. Is that clear? Okay, I wrote out a lot of chapters on the commandments. I wrote out a lot of chapters on the sacraments. I wrote a lot of chapters on who God is. But the purpose is this. And I think it's very beautiful, is that I don't want to sound mushy, but God really loves you. God has a great love for you. He does. A really great love for you. And He wants you to love him back. God loves you, but he wants you to love him back. So that's what we're going to try to do in these few weeks, really, the confirmation class. We don't have too many classes in the sense that once a month you have the Mass. So we don't have the class. Then you got vacation for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter. In total, you don't even have 25 classes. So it's really not that much. However, I believe that if we really try to do the best we can, by May, you guys are going to have a friendship with Christ. And you're going to be able to build on it. And my desire is this. You're going to have a friendship with Christ in these 2 years of confirmation. Then, I mean, after that, you can leave if you want. You can leave the Catholic faith if you want. I hope you don't. But my hope is that we've planted the seed and a foundation that you want to keep building upon this. So that Jesus Christ is your best friend. So that when you die, all of you are going to go to heaven. That's what I want. Is that clear? What I want, I probably want it more than you. I want you to go to heaven more than you want to go to heaven. I really do. You call me Father, I'm your spiritual father, okay? Even though I would be the age of most of your abuelos, okay? My desire is to help you to get to heaven. So if you can establish And it's for many years, I think we've been going about it backwards. We're teaching the commandments and then friendship with Christ. Should have been the other way around. Because if we just give you the commandments, who cares? But if you understand, I want to obey the commandments because I want to have a good friendship with Jesus Christ. That's our focus. And the fact that Jesus is your friend, that's going to help you to want to obey the commandments. Got it? He's your friend. He's my best friend. Therefore, I don't want to break the commandments because I'm hurting my best friend. That's where we're heading. And at the end of each class, with Paul's help, and I have to go a little bit early because I have a mission up in El Monte that I have to leave about 6 o'clock. He's going to be taking you into church. And you can put them in a couple of the rows. And what you're going to do is, on the altar, you have the Blessed Sacrament. And we want you to spend about 3 minutes at the end of this class, all of you in silence, just talking to Jesus in your own words. Okay? Talking to him in your own words. You say to him whatever you want. No matter what you say to Jesus Christ, whatever words you're going to say, whatever sentence structure you're going to use, what he wants, he just wants you to talk to him. Okay? Yesterday said, why didn't you thank God? You could come in there and say, Lord, there's something bothering me. I got to pass a test tomorrow. I don't feel I'm prepared. Help me to pass this dumb test. I've already failed it once. Okay, Lord, help me. That's a great prayer. You know one of my favorite prayers? I'll tell you. Help. I say that. I do. I got problems. You have I got problems probably more than you guys. So, Lord, help me. I can't get through this difficult situation. And he never fails me. That's a beautiful prayer. Help. Jesus, help me. And he hears. And he does help. So you have to recognize, Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's not just someone that lived 2,000 years ago in Palestine. He's alive now. Even though, he's invisible, God is invisible, but hey, are your thoughts invisible? Right, are they? But they're real, right? How about, is the air you breathe invisible? Does it exist? So the invisible world is just as real as the physical world. Physical world, okay, this is real. But God is just as real as this wood that I'm pounding away at. Okay? So that's going to be, so I hope and I pray this is going to be the best year in their life. The best year of our life is the year in which we get closer to God. Irrespective of what other things happen, if we're getting closer to God in this year, it's going to be a great year. And I really trust and pray with our prayers and our talks, our presentations, our retreats, this is going to be a great year. Okay? Is that clear? So it's a class, it's not very demanding. Come here, you get 1 hour a week, your homework you do right here, try to pay attention, make a short visit to the Blessed Sacrament, and of course, and Paul is going to do the attendance at the end, you guys, do you come to Mass on Sunday? Do you come to Mass on Sunday? That's great. Okay, a couple of guys, maybe you don't come, well, come. Tell your mom and dad to bring you. Your mom and dad sometimes come to Mass on Sunday? How about your parents?
Oh, I go to Mass on Sunday.
You go to Mass on Sunday? How about you? Sometimes?
I go when I see
you. Okay, it's fine. You go? Great. Okay. How about? Okay. Well, I thank the three of you for being honest. It's really not your fault. It's not your fault. But what you have to do is say, Mom and Dad, let's go to Mass on Sunday. You got to remind them. Your parents are really busy on Sunday. Come Saturday night. Okay? That's good enough. Saturday night is good for Sunday. So it's up to you guys to say, you know, Mom, Dad, let's go to Mass just 1 hour a week, right? And your parents are busy. Well, so am I. So is Paul. We're all busy. It's a question of priorities. Is that clear? And I think once you guys come, even though you say, well, I don't really want to go to Mass, once you go and you come back, you feel better, right? Right? I ask young people, I didn't want to go to Mass, but you went to Mass, and then afterward, how do you feel? I feel much more peace after I went to Mass. I didn't want to go at first, but once I went, it wasn't as bad as I thought. And you start to like to come to Mass. Not like going to jail or going to the dentist. No, I'm going to the dentist or going to the jail or going to Alcatraz. No, it's not that. It's not as bad as they think, right? Okay. So, Paul, it's going to be up to you then. You're going to have to make sure that they have their names on, and each week just have to give them their binders, okay? So we'll pass it out now, and I'll help out with the pencils, and then we'll jump in, okay? Pass those down. Mm-hmm. Pass those down. You got one already? Good. Yeah. Great. Those are extras. You can just put those extras here. Are those extras? Yeah. Okay, good. Good start. Okay, let's open up there. Open up your binders. And Paul, I don't think this Javier didn't get one yet. So you come on Wednesday usually?
Yes.
Were you with me yesterday?
No.
With another person?
No, I didn't come with you.
Okay, well maybe he can do this and just maybe take out the his worksheet and he can take that and give it to his teacher next time.
Okay,
so let's start. Well, you have a pencil. The first topic is going to be on God the Creator. So open up your binder and pull out your pencil. The way this is done, Paul, is there one for me? Is there a?
Yeah,
the key. Oh, there's no key? Okay.
I'm sorry, someone got mine.
Oh, that's yours?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, take this. I don't. Okay, the Creator. If you ask people, what does the Catholic Church stand for, how would they answer? If you were to walk into a coffee shop and randomly ask, what does the Catholic Church stand for? What kind of responses do you think you would receive? Some people might talk about the rituals of the Catholic faith. What does that mean? Ash Wednesday, right? The ashes, lessonesas, or maybe blessings, or maybe a picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe, or maybe the bells, or maybe the incense that you use in the Mass. These are called church rituals. Others might mention the Pope. Do any of you know the name of the Pope right now? Who was the Pope before this Pope? Begins with a B. B-E? Benedict the 16th. Who's the one before him who was a pope for many, many years? He's already a saint. John Bosco? Not John Bosco. No. Javier? He actually ordained... Yeah, okay, John Paul II. He actually ordained me a priest many years ago. Okay. So, a large number probably would focus on controversial moral issues of our day. The Catholic Church is against abortion. So write that in there. Abortion. You know what abortion is, any of you? Ever hear the word abortion? Okay, you kill a baby before the baby's born. That's an abortionist. Okay, then, against contraception and against gay marriage. Okay, that's what the church's moral teaching. Okay? Okay, number two. What does the Catholic Church stand for? It is true, the Catholic Church does stand for the above, but above all, the Church makes present, write that in there, makes present Christ and His love for each one of us. The Catholic Church stands for the God who is madly in love with you, who has a plan for you and wants you to be happy. The God who even sent His Son
to the world.
Okay, what would be those two words? What's the name of God sent? Jesus Christ, okay? Sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Who wants to forgive you and help you in your life, and who most of all wants an intimate, personal, an intimate, personal, write that in there, personal relationship with you so that you can be with Him forever
in heaven.
Okay? If I say the word heaven, what comes to mind for you? What do you think about heaven?
Happiness?
Good. Peace?
Like light, mansions.
Good. How about you?
Paradise. Like a nice place.
Nice place? Huh? Peaceful?
Joy.
A place to rest. Clouds? Paul, what about you?
Great love,
yeah. Good. They're all good responses. You're all right. But what you said is going to be much better. Okay. Everything you said is going to be a million times better. And it's going to be forever and ever and ever. It's going to be forever. So the greatest thing you can think about is going to be much greater than that and forever and ever. Not bad, huh? Number three. Who is this God who is madly in love with you? He is creator of heaven and earth, one divine being in
three
divine persons. They are the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay, now we're going to talk about creation. Okay, who created you? It was God who is creator, who created me and brought me into existence. God also maintains my life in existence. As St. Paul preached, quoting the poet, in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. You know, of everything that God created in the world, and God created everything in the world, the greatest of His creation would be
us.
Yes, man and woman. And you're worth more than the whole created world in the eyes of God. Just you. You're worth more than the whole created world. That's how important you are. You have a lot of value. So everything that God created in the world was created to help us to get to heaven. as a stepping stone and not as a stumbling block. Stepping stone, huh? Like a ladder. So use everything in creation as a means by which you can be ascending and get to heaven. So we have to use creation and not abuse it. Use, not abuse. Next. Where was I when I was writing it, this number? This just kind of fascinated me, Paul. Where was I before my creation? It's a good and important question. Where was I before creation? The response is that before my creation, I did not even exist. This is a very humbling thought. So 16 years ago, you didn't even exist. But God had you in His mind, even before He created, He had you in His mind. Then He brought you into existence, most of you guys, about 13, 14 years ago. Yeah.
So 20 years ago, He knew we were going to come?
Yes. That's right. God, for example, we live right now. But for God, now this is another humbling thought. Time. Oh, do you have watches? Do you know? It's hard to say this many, many years ago, but God actually created time. It's kind of an astounding thought. But for God, past, present, and future is the same. We live in time. And we measure time by the passage of years, months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, seconds. So we measure it that way. So even before Adam and Eve existed, God knew that He was going to be creating all of you out of love. So that you would love Him, and then one day, you, after your death, you go to heaven with Him. God has no beginning and no end. Always existed. No. However, Jesus is the Son of God. He did have a beginning in His human nature. Now, Jesus became man. But before becoming man, Jesus was always the second person of the Trinity. But He became man about 2,000 years ago. He was born in Bethlehem of Mary. So as man, he became one of us in all things except sin about 2,000 years ago. And He's the one we want to get to know better and establish a deep friendship with this year and all the years of our lives. Okay? Next. Why did God create me? God created me out of pure love, and nothing more. And nothing more out of pure love, because He loves me totally and always. Stop and thank God for loving me into existence. Did you ever thank God for anything?
Yeah.
What did you thank Him for?
Family.
Your family?
Every night I thank Him for another day.
Another day. Good.
Family.
Your family? Good. You know, there are people that go to bed hungry every day. Did you know that? One of your problems is you go home and you open up the refrigerator and you have to kind of choose what you want to eat, right? You're going to have a snack. There are some people in the world that don't even know what a refrigerator is. Did you know that? You go to India, China, some places in Africa, you know, maybe they saw a refrigerator on the phone or maybe on the TV, but they don't even have a refrigerator. They're so poor. And what do we do in this country? Restaurants throw millions of tons of food away every day. At the end of the day, They don't eat the food, they throw that in the trash. Whereas many people would go to that trash bin, make the sign of the cross and say, hey, we got a good meal tonight. So we should learn how to thank God. You have to learn how to say thank you. You have so many things. Even you heard about that earthquake in Mexico, or there's so many people that die, and you're still digging up dead bodies, right? Morelos, Michoacan. Maybe some of your relatives came from that area, right? And be thankful that, you know, let's pray for those people that died, and let's pray for their relatives. Maybe some of them are kind of related to you guys. And a lot of people come from Michoacan in Hawaiian Gardens. No? Could have been us, right? When I arrived here, Paul, you were around. It was in, I think, 1994, 95. I was sleeping one night. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, I felt like these four men had grabbed onto my bedpost and were shaking my bed. It was the famous Northridge earthquake. Now, has your mom and dad been here for more than 20 years? Ask them if they remember the Northridge. It was one of the biggest earthquakes we've had in many, many years. No? And I thought that the devil was angry at me because I heard a lot of confessions the day before and he was just shaking my bedpost to try to really scare me. No? But no one in Hawaiian Gardens died. It was up there in Northridge, which would be about a half hour north of Hollywood. Some people died there. Yeah. And bridges collapsed. No? So be thankful that we're still alive, right? Be thankful. Okay, number seven, is it? What is my purpose in life? Okay, this is a very important question, and this should motivate us all our lives so that we can carry this out. I'm here to know God. First, to know God. To love God, to serve God in this life, so as to be happy with Him forever in eternity. I'm here to know God, to love God, and to serve God in this life, so as to be happy with Him forever in eternity. Jesus also said, this comes from Jesus. This is what converted Saint Francis Xavier, this phrase. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Soul, S-O-U-L. Let me paint two different scenarios and see what you say about this. Okay, there is this homeless man that believes in God, lives underneath the bridge. At night, he got to fight off the rats that come under bridges. You know? And he begs, and he's able to eat every night a little bit. And he's a man that prays and believes God. One day, one of his friends is walking. They see him underneath the bridge. He's not moving. He died. And then there's another man. He's a multimillionaire that has two houses in Beverly Hills. He's got a Mercedes-Benz and a Maserati, two of those really good cars. And he's got this yacht that is worth about $1 million. But he never thinks about God and never prays to God. And he dies. Which of those two is more fortunate? Why?
Because he has very little money.
But what does he have in his soul? He's got God, right? What about the rich man?
He doesn't have God. He just has his money and his cars.
Right. And so when he dies, where's all that money going to go?
To
He can't take it with him, can he? So the richest person in the world and the poorest person in the world is going to end up in the same place, 6 feet beneath the ground. You're going to die and buried, right? So, if you have God with you, you might have a lot of problems, but you're rich if you have God within you. And that's what friendship is. Friendship with Jesus means that you've got God with you. So hopefully you're going to keep living and trying to grow in that friendship with Jesus Christ. So we're here to know God, to love God, to serve God in this life so as to get to heaven, be with Him for all eternity. Amen? Go ahead. So try to go to the bathroom before confirmation, right, Paul? We have to kind of teach him that. It's only an hour, okay? Okay, next. 8. How do we know there's but one God and three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? One of the greatest mysteries of our Catholic faith is the most blessed Trinity. The most blessed Trinity. We believe that there is only one God, but three separate and distinct persons. God revealed this mystery to us. Jesus, who is the Son of God, made man, revealed this to us. I'm going to give you an analogy for the Trinity. One of the most famous analogies you have. It comes from St. Patrick. St. Patrick went to Ireland and he wanted to teach the people who couldn't read and write, what's the Trinity? So he's taking a walk in the green fields of Ireland and he noticed that there was a three-leaf clover. You ever see a three-leaf clover? It's clover, but it's got three different leaves. And he picked it up. He said, look at this. This is one clover, but there are three different leaves. So we believe there's one God in three different persons. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's a good analogy. It's a good one. Three-leaf clover. One clover, three leaves. One God, three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Got it? Okay, that's called an analogy of the Trinity. Okay, next. How can we recall often the presence of the Trinity? Two special ways. First, by making the sign of the cross with great reverence, saying the words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Second, by praying reverently, the glory be. So let's pray now. I'm going to pray the glory be now with great reverence, respect, and love. Ready? Together. Glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. So fill in after, as it was in the beginning. As it was in the beginning. So you're going to take a couple minutes now. You put your pencil in between the rings. We're going to practice the sign of the cross. Right hand? Right hand open? Palm open? And you're going to do, you're going to sign the cross by your forehead, and it's going to be your heart, your center, left and right. Okay, palm open. Ready? Make it nice and wide. Some of you kind of go like this. Nice and wide, okay? Ready? Okay, once again. Okay, now let's say the words. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, let's say, you do it. Okay? In the name of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Good. Okay.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Very good.
And then, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Good. Great. Very good. The Holy Spirit. Okay, good. And then, good. Okay. Okay, some of you are skipping "and of the," okay? You're saying the Father, the Son. It's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay? In the name of the
Father
and of the Son. Okay, and of the Father. Do it again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son. Good. Good. Javier. In the name of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy
Spirit. You really did it well. Yeah. Very good. You got a really good class here. Very good. You guys are, you're sharp. So when we do that, you profess what? One God and three persons. So when you're making the sign of the cross, you're professing your belief in the greatest mystery of the Catholic faith, the mystery of the Trinity. You know, that's a Hispanic custom.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but given that it's a tradition, the best way, I think, for us to do it is not to complicate life. Just have the palm open. And you make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You don't have to kiss your fingers either. Rather, you just fold your hands. Now, often they kiss their fingers. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but the church wants us not to complicate life. You know, we complicate life by so many different gestures. And if you ask your parents, there's another way that they do it in Mexico. Por la señal de la Santa Cruz, líbranos de nuestros enemigos, Padre, Hijo, Espíritu Santo, amén. This is called persignarse in Spanish. This is called santiguarse. Okay? You ask your parents, and it's fine. But with you guys, you're brought up and raised in this country, if you can get the sign of the cross well, that's enough. Okay? If you want to learn the other with your parents, that's fine. But a lot of Hispanics come in and they make the elaborate, it's called santiguarse, which is fine. But here, there's so much to learn, let's try to be simple. But, okay, you can do that, but when we're praying here and when you go to church, like when we start the Mass, it's not this. It's this. Now, when you start the Mass, the priest says, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I mean, you can do it, but I just think you're complicating life. Yeah. And also, maybe I have to study it. What is the origin of kissing the fingers and making the sign of the cross? There's some spiritual meaning behind it, but I haven't studied it yet. Okay, let's move on. Okay, what number are we? Okay, does God want us to be happy?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. He wants us to be happy. Here as well as heaven. Number 11. How can we be happy? Okay, let's see if we can fill in the response. We can be happy if we open our hearts. We can be happy if we open up our hearts to God and let His love dwell in our hearts. Man cannot live without love. His life is senseless if love is not revealed to him. If he does not encounter love, if he does not experience it and make it his own, if he does not participate intimately in it. That's John Paul II, Redemptor Hominis. Okay, number 12. What type of love is this? It is the love that comes to us through the, who? Through the Holy Spirit. Do any of you know what that is, that Romans 5:5, know what that is? Romans 5:5 means it's a letter in the Bible written by St. Paul. And the first five would be the chapter, and the second five would be the verse. Okay, so the first number would be the chapter, and then the following would be the verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. In which we read, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is not the love you see in telenovelas. Do you know what a telenovela is?
It's like
dramatic. Drama, okay? Like a soap opera, right? Like a kind of a false sensual love, right? That's not real love. That love is, fill it in, sinful and trash. That love is sinful and trash. Number 13. Does God have a plan for me?
Yes.
You are a thought of God. So God is always thinking about you. That's how important you are. You are a heartbeat of God. So God has you in His mind and in His heart. Beautiful. God has you in His mind as well in His heart. God created you out of love. Number 14. How can I get to know God? And the response is study. Here's a question for you. Study about God. What is the book in the world that speaks most about God where you can really get to know about God?
The Bible.
What's the date today? September what? September 21st. Do you know today we celebrate a great saint? Do any of you ever hear of the Gospels in Spanish, Los Evangelios? Do you know how many Gospels there are in the Bible?
Four.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can you say that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Say it again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four Gospels. Today, Paul, we celebrate St. Matthew. St. Matthew is a tribute to him, the first of the Gospels. When you go to Mass, what's the most important reading in the Mass on Sunday?
The Gospel.
Do you stand up or sit down? You stand up, right? You stand up to honor the Gospel because the Gospel teaches us about the life of Jesus Christ. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have a Bible? Can you have a Bible? You know you should all have a Bible in your home, but you should all have your own Bible. As well as Spanish and English, I would say, because most of you are bilingual. You should have your own Bible and read the Bible.
I keep it in my room and have it open.
Good. I mean, every night, maybe before I go to bed for 3 minutes or 4 minutes, read a chapter of the Gospel. You get to know who Jesus Christ is and talk to Him.
I read
3 hours? Every night? Wow. You're a good reader. It's good. Wow, that's not bad, yeah. So you like to read? It's good. So do I. I wish I had more time. But reading is important. Okay, so, study. During this course, you will learn about Christ, who is the Son of God, made man. And he will teach you about God and his love. And his love. Okay, now, these are ways in which we can grow in our friendship with Jesus. Prayer. Mass and communion are very important because in them, Christ comes to dwell in you. So when you receive Holy Communion, who do you receive? Body, blood, what are the other two words? Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Every time you receive communion. It's body, blood, soul, and divinity. So you can go to Mass, you can go to Mass only on Sunday?
No.
Can you go weekday also?
Yes.
Yeah, you can go to Mass every day. Every day? Every day we got Masses for you guys. Huh? You can actually say, hey Mom, right after confirmation, can we stay for Mass? That wouldn't be a bad proposal. Almost right after confirmation, a couple of minutes, at 6:15, there's Mass. Wouldn't be a bad idea. Some of you are saying, well, but we're hungry. Well, offer up a little sacrifice. If you eat half hour late, you're not going to die of hunger, are you? I don't think so. Okay, I have a lot of homework. That's important. Or maybe on Saturdays, or maybe when you're on vacation. Huh? Okay, confession. It is very important because God forgives your sins because he loves you and you know that they are forgiven. So when you go to confession to the priest, and he gives you absolution, if you tell God you're sorry, all those sins are forgiven. You ever go to confession? Afterward, don't you feel a lot of peace? Feel a lot of peace, a lot of joy. You feel kind of like a weight is lifted off your shoulders. You feel like a new person, no? So all of you, you know, get in the habit at least once a month. Go to confession. Unload your problems, your sins. It's a great practice. Reading Scripture. We'll teach you how to do this later on. The Rosary. So, Paul was able to get through a good part of the Rosary today. He was able to get through 2 or 3 mysteries. And prayer is talking to Christ as your friend. So what we put at the end of this lesson are 3 short prayers. And they're actually taken from Our Lady of Fatima. If you look at that picture in the middle, that's a picture of Mary, and her name is Our Lady of Fatima. And she appeared 100 years ago to 3 little children, Jacinta, Francisca, and Lucia. She appeared actually 100 years ago. And there's a beautiful picture of her with the rosary, her Immaculate Heart, and the halo, which indicates her holiness. So the first prayer is the pardon prayer. We're going to say that together. Ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The pardon prayer, together. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Beautiful prayer. That was a prayer that the angel taught the little children in 1916. Okay, another prayer of the angels, which is related to the Blessed Trinity and Holy Communion. Together, O Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly. I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference by which he is offended. By the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg the conversion of poor sinners. Finally, we're going to say the Eucharistic prayer together. Most Holy Trinity, I adore you, my God, I love you in the most blessed sacrament. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, so Paul, will leave it in your hands now. Okay.